Hello everyone and welcome to JFG. Tonight we will have a relax show reviewing the war updates of today. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yesterday was amazing, a show with Richard Spencer. If you haven't seen it, go back to see it. I think it was extremely insightful. Whenever Richard comes here, there's always five or six people in the comment section sending insults to him or me. How can you have this guy? He's wrong, but I don't see, like, you guys should just drop your arguments in your comments. I would love to see how Richard is wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, when he comes, it's high quality commentator commenting, and I don't see what you guys are talking about. You can disagree with his positioning, but that's a moral or political disagreement. As far as I'm concerned, he produces quality stuff and quality thinking. Most importantly, original thinking. I don't know of much guests we can get on here that will be able to deliver something that is original in terms of thought. And Richard is always like that on any subject. Now, I highly disagreed with him on the whole COVID stuff and on many things, authoritarianism. But on this particular subject, the war in Ukraine, we are back agreeing on many things. And I think he delivers it in a very compelling way. All right. today, people were reawakening on social media this little moment where Vladimir Putin was with other world leaders in 2013, and some naked woman, some naked feminist or protesters of Femen come to him. Look at his face. He's already seeing something wrong. He's saying, oh, there's something in this direction here. And look at his face. He's like, oh my god, free boobs. Everyone is nervous and the guards are like, oh no, stop her, this is terrorism. But he's like, oh, I can get free boobs. Putin dictator, they say. Putin dictator. Well, how times have changed. The people that were on the stage then was I've seen Angela Merkel, and today we have everyone sanctioning Putin. Basically, the feminine position, Putin dictator, is now the mainstream position in Western countries. Today the war has continued, although you will see in the leftist media that the convoy is stalled. Well, when you operate a siege of a massive city, it is not necessarily the case that you want the convoy to progress all the time. At some point, you might want to regroup, reposition, get in place. And so the fact that the convoy is not stalled, as they say in their news items, to me is not an illustration that there are some sort of systemic failures. We've seen these news items before, and they turned out to be misleading. Because Putin sometimes pauses progress to consolidate current positions, perhaps to handle some technical difficulties, refueling, that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't take the sign that the convoy has not progressed in space to be a sign that the war is not progressing. Today, in fact, what we have seen is strategic strikes all around Kyiv. So, in Kyiv, Kyiv is surrounded by average size cities, and we've seen at least four sites being targeted by airstrikes. And I think that this illustrates the strategy of Putin. He wants to, one, make a circling of Kyiv, and he doesn't want the circle to be tight around Kyiv. In fact, he's currently bombarding the infrastructure, military and communication infrastructure all around Kyiv, up to many kilometers to big cities around Kyiv. This will probably give him control of the circulation of stuff, material, so that it doesn't get to Kyiv. And on the other hand, we see progression of the strikes in the line that splits Ukraine in two halves. And so those are the two kind of strikes we've seen today. Here we see that an antenna for apparently television broadcast, but probably for many other things, has been struck by plane or by missile. There's a big case being made in the leftist media that there was a Holocaust memorial close to this antenna, and it was affected too. Listen, when you choose urban warfare, when you choose not to be facing the enemy in a military field, you choose that your regular civilian communications and museums will be potentially targeted by missiles. But that's because you chose this field of battle. Personally, you know, I don't think it was an intentional destruction of a museum. I think that what we're seeing is Putin sees functional stuff and he wants to disable them so that he can win the war. Tonight also will be the State of the Union address. We won't cover it live on the show, but it will be in 2 hours from now at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So they are currently commenting and preparing the State of the Union. Baxter says, where is CRP? Well, we can talk about it right now. So the news about CRP are good. He's doing good. But my God, is this guy putting himself in trouble. He's been expelled from the Kyiv hotel in which he was speaking to us just the morning when I did a show in the morning. That was 8 a.m. for him. And he was in the hotel, and Coach ended up streaming so much and publishing so many videos on Telegram that they ended up making it to Twitter and other social media. And Russian state TV has taken his clip in which he complains on the streets. He's on the streets and he complains that he's not afraid of being shot neither by the Russian or the Ukrainian army. He's afraid to be shot by criminals that were armed by Zelensky, because he was seeing the gang lifestyle develop in Kyiv, and he was seeing citizens, some of them criminals, just shooting at each other, and with the weapons that were provided by Zelensky. So he was starting to be afraid. Now, the series of events that happened to him are incredible, but it all turns out good for Coach, and you have to respect this man. So there he is complaining against the Zelensky regime in the streets of Kyiv, and it's like, oh my God, are you sure you want to do this? Because they've been celebrating, you know, killing saboteurs, and you might be identified as a saboteur. So, you know, as someone said on our Telegram discussion chat, by the way, if you haven't joined my Telegram and the discussion group of my Telegram, the link is in the description below, you should. Random Primate was saying, imagine going in a war to have contrarian takes. That is exactly what's happening. Coach is at the middle of the most dangerous place on earth other than Chicago, and he's walking on the streets and giving YouTube commentary, like totally honest about his take, and his take happens to be that the Zelensky regime is being irresponsible with this whole civilian arming thing. So in any case, so Russian state TV just played his clip in front of all of Russia. Look at this, there he is. And it happened yesterday. So that was yesterday. They played a clip of him in his room because they were very interested at illustrating to their people that, you know, it's not the Russian army that's causing trouble. It's the gangs, local gangs of Nazis, basically. And again, there he is again today. Gonzalo Lira Lopez is again on Russia State TV streaming from Kyiv, besmirching the president of Ukraine and describing Ukrainians defending their land from Russian invaders as armed criminals. Well, that's not a fair representation at all of what he was saying. But anyways, you get the idea. Now, Coach Red Pill starts being identified as a collaborator of Russia. But he didn't ask, he didn't want to be on Russian TV. They just took his clip. Now, the manager of the Kiev Hotel, the Premier Palace where he was staying, goes to him while he was in the smoking lounge because Coach Red Pill has started smoking again just because he's too nervous about, you know, the fact that there are air raids above his head. And so the whole war situation led him to smoke gently in the smoking lounge of his hotel. And the manager goes to him and he says, "Sir, we want you to leave right now. We don't want collaborators of the Russian, collaborators of Vladimir Putin in this hotel." And Coach finds himself on the street against the very criminals and the groups of thugs that he was complaining about. Oh my God. Now, of course, Coach Red Pill was with his extraordinary behavior and all of his networking. He finds a friend that happened to have an empty apartment. So he only stayed a couple of minutes on the street, ended up in the apartment. And from there, speaking to one of his friends, he found out that you could take the train to Kharkiv. Now, Kharkiv is the second city that's where the most fighting happens. So there he is in Kiev, which is being progressively turned into a siege. And his goal is to go to Kharkov, as it can be spelled, to Kharkov. Well, first, because his family lives there. So, but Kharkov is also the place of intense shelling right now. So Coach Red Pill learns that, oh my God, yeah, if you send a train to Kharkov to get citizens out, it also means that an empty train must come to Kharkov. So he learns that there is an option to leave by train from Kiev to Kharkov. That's what took him 10 hours being off the internet. He didn't have access to the internet. So right now, Coach Red Pill is progressing against the direction of the Russian army. This guy is unbelievable. He's yapping on his streams. Ah, you know, not so bad, this invasion by Putin. And you know, I don't like the Zelensky regime. And he's he's being taken by trains in the direction that no one is going. I love this guy. I just love this guy. This guy is amazing. And you know what? He's safer that way. That's the truth. Essentially, Coach Red Pill chose a camp in his commentary and saw and was pushed toward this camp because he felt less hostility there than he would have been the victim of in Kiev. So, you know, much love to Coach Red Pill. I know he's doing good right now. Hopefully he doesn't get shelled randomly by Kharkiv bombardments. But my guess is that Kharkiv has been bombarded already much, and so what's to come is not so dramatic. I think that he will be safe. I think he should keep his distance because he's very close to the locations of bombardment. He said he heard a missile or a shell that came like very close to him, not to a point where he could see it, but it was on his street or on the other block. So that's the situation with Coach Red Pill, who he's acting like a strategic master in this war, and he's going against the grain like many YouTubers do, you know, YouTubing and commentary in general. Unless you want to just be a slave and a carpet commentator, you're going to go against the grain. And Coach Red Pill is in Kiev, is in Ukraine right now, and he's going against the grain, and it's serving him well up to now. But my question to you today is, will he be living in Russia forever now? If Russia extends into Ukraine, will CRP be stuck in Russia forever? Yes, for a while, or no? Those are the options to the survey tonight on Entropy. Join me on Entropy with the link in the description below. This is the right place to send me your super chats, or you can use the support button on Odyssey. Make sure you are logged in on Odyssey to support the show. We live thanks to your super chats. And your super chats are what allows me to spend my days preparing this review of war videos and of the current events. By the way, I've also put in the description Coach Red Pill's Telegram. If you want to know the latest about Coach Red Pill, he's in Kharkov right now. And it's great. It's great to see his Telegram. Lots of freedom there. Go away, says JF. Coach has obviously received the tip off from his Russian handlers. He knows something is going to go down in Kiev. Well, in a way, he was right, because currently being in residential areas in Kiev is not the safest place to be. And let's not forget that Vladimir Putin this morning warned, just as I had counseled 2 days ago, I said, Vladimir, warn the civilians of Kiev, tell them to exit the city and give them a couple of days. I said 5 days, it could be 3 days or 2 days, but leave them plenty of time to leave the city, so that then you can make the argument anyone who's left in the city is essentially an agent of the Ukrainian government, is a military combatant. Total Grimm sends a super chat. He says, never been a big fan of CRP, but I've had a soft spot for him after his drunken antics berating Annika O'Brien a few years back on your show. Hope he's doing well. That you are awakening memories that I didn't even remember anymore. That was amazing. That was so funny. Yes. All right. Russian forces continue strikes in multiple cities throughout Ukraine. Russian forces launched attacks on civilian sites in Kiev. You know, well, they say civilian sites, but you've chosen those sites as the stage of your war. So a civilian site, if you encamp people with Molotov cocktails and snipers in it, it's not a civilian site anymore. And if you brag on social media and you make little videos, like, they made a fucking trailer where the guy is like, hello, welcome to the Ukrainian army. We welcome you with sniper bullets shot from the buildings. And we have javelins for your tank. You're going to burn. And it's like, well, okay, so you're telling me that your positioning of the Ukrainian army is in residential building in snipers, and you brag about it on a social media trailer to intimidate Russian forces? And then you want me to cry that your residential buildings are getting bombed? If you use a structure for military combat, and if you start saying everyone now is a soldier of Ukraine, then there are no more residents. There are no more citizens. There are no more civilians. All there is left are Ukrainian personal army. All right, the progression of the war. So the convoy has not made further progress spatially. However, they could be reorganizing. And when you see the airstrikes of today, here, just the position of these 4 airstrikes plus the strategic airstrikes. These airstrikes were targeting buildings of the army, training buildings for the air command centers and that kind of stuff, and communication things like antennas and radars, that kind of stuff, and the electricity that goes into that kind of structure. But you can see here is what's the plan. These strikes were made in cities that surround Kiev so that the circling of Kiev will be at least that large. Now, it's basically a circle of a diameter of 150 kilometers. So all the big cities around Kiev will be disabled, which will leave probably an inner circle of tanks around Kiev. You can see that various paths for the tanks have been explored in the last few days. So that's how they will circle Kiev. And when you look at this strike, well, you realize perhaps what Vladimir Putin has on his mind is a line that divides Ukraine like this. Now, you may want also to complete it and reach it here at some point. But you can see, in line with what Semyonov had said, what Vladimir Putin is worried about is the line that is the tightest line between Europe and Russia. There it is. So this is the little segment of land that is controlled by Russia, just around Lithuania. Here you have Belarus. And so Vladimir Putin, in terms of thinking of a front, interfacing with Europe, he has this control over a sea accessible land here. And to complete it, to complete the belt, as Semyonov had been describing, you will need to have strong control here. And so, from the perspective of Vladimir Putin, you have Lithuania to care about a little bit, you have Belarus, and then you have Ukraine. If somehow these three countries are somehow vassal of yours, or you have some control over what happens in there, then you control the belt that connects to the rest of Europe. So this is what's happening here. The belt is getting completed. So what will Vladimir Putin want? Will he want full penetration of Ukraine here, or will he close the belt here? In any case, that's what he has to do. Or the belt could very well be closed here. It wouldn't change much from a geographic perspective. The question is, will there be a Western Ukraine under the control of NATO sympathetic allies, Americans, English, etc. That is the question of this war. That is the question that this war will resolve. Zhytomyr, to give you an idea of those cities around Kiev that are getting bombarded, site of the strike here, aerial strike leading to heavy fire. This is after the strike. Heavy fire that are said to be affecting a residential building in this case. So that is an example. Breaking: Russia's defense minister Sergei Shoigu says his country will host the first anti-fascist conference in August. So, amazing turn of event this morning. Vladimir Putin wants to be a leader remembered as an Antifa, because he was going after, in his explanation, he was going after the Nazis of Ukraine, which would make him technically an Antifa. So there will be an anti-fascist conference in which presumably Putin will be speaking, or his assistants and admirers will be speaking. Weird choice, but interesting. Antifa Putin. Go away, says Jeff. Latvia and Estonia, two NATO members, will still exist on the Russian side of Putin's belt, though. Okay, I didn't pay attention to this. You're right. I think that Putin must be seeing those as unresolvable, because attacking those would require essentially starting a war with the whole of NATO. So I guess that Putin is trying to limit his troubles here. That's what he did in Georgia. And now that he's trying to accomplish it here. And perhaps he think, I don't know, maybe in decades from now, there will, or if there is indeed a massive conflict affecting Russia and NATO, it wouldn't be perhaps too long for him to neutralize these countries, at least in terms of neutralizing their capacity to pass on stuff from our army or soldiers from North America or Europe. So, yes, those are problems, but I guess that he's trying to resolve the problems that he can while he still can. Here you can see the whole problematic of Ukraine joining NATO. It's that it creates two problems for Putin. And he's resolving this problem for now, and perhaps this problem will be solved in a separate generation or in other circumstances. We had some questions previous to the show. Let's have a look at them. Twigs Quadrum says, is the double team modern day debate still happening, JF? I had no news from it, but I'm sure that modern day is working to find opponents. The difficult thing is always to find a leftist willing to defend their view in a debate. Paul E. Linden says, that footage of the airstrike on Kharkiv city center today really looked terrifying. Yes, I'm going to show various images today. I've gathered everything interesting. Disclose.tv was reporting this morning, Russia will continue the military operation in Ukraine until its goals are achieved and will host the first international anti-fascist conference in August. So it won't stop, despite the leftist laughing about the stalling of the advancement of the convoy. It's like they're commenting on this like it's a Ottawa trucker convoy. You're talking about tanks here. It's not like they're going to disappear. The tanks can be slowed down. They can wait for other tanks. They will eventually gather into circling Kiev. So you're on notice right now. Go Away says, yes, I suppose if he closes the belt, then Latvia and Estonia can be cut off from other NATO members. Yeah, it's having one problem to solve would be much easier than having two, three fronts on which he would have a trouble. We had super chats during the night. Yeah, Bardamu, yesterday I didn't read your super chat to Richard because you're getting into so much the personal, and it's like it's not the goal of this show. Sprocket says, how would you name your position on Russian invasion of Ukraine? Was there ever any punishment for the at-fault spouse in divorce? What do you think should that punishment be? Well, those are separate questions. So on the question of the at-fault spouse in divorce, there used to be, and there are still in certain states, a form of divorce that is the fault divorce, although, you know, it's being abandoned. Even in states where it's still there legally, people don't do it. But there is such a thing as if you, for example, if you betray your spouse with another person, if you have sex with another person, that deprives you of any claim in family court on property or on having a payment, you know, these alimony, that kind of stuff. Now, typically, it will never get to a child deprivation, so it generally doesn't play in the whole child care stuff, but at least you can have the argument in court that since the person comes to court with unclean hands, since they have broken the marriage contract themselves, they cannot ask for any property. And what do I think the punishment should be in an at-fault spouse in divorce? I think, well, first we have to eliminate the incentives. Once the incentives, like, you know, the fact that the state gives superb advantages to single mothers, we have to eliminate these incentives, eliminate child support, eliminate child checks, eliminate the tax advantages for the single mothers. If we get down to this and we deprive them of any property, I would be fine. I wouldn't want further punishment, but I would be open to considering further punishment, you know. You could have a tax to divorce. So if you want to divorce, you have to pay a fee or you have to pay more taxes. That could be an incentive to keep marriage together. Or I would be open that it results in a prior access to property, perhaps an advantage in the split of property. In fact, I'm not super hot on there being a split of property in the first place. I think the person who abandons the marriage could be deprived of anything acquired during the marriage and anything that was acquired by the other spouse before the marriage. I say, let's go heavy on divorce until it's unviable to divorce. Then your first question was, what is the name of my position on the Russian invasion of Ukraine? Well, it's an articulation of various positions. One, my position is the Minsk agreements were deceptively entered in by Ukraine and they didn't respect their share, their burden, their responsibilities as part of it. So my position could be said to be Russia is justified in invading Ukraine because of the breach of the Minsk agreement, which is an act of aggression against Russia. That's pretty much my position. Now, of course, I have all sorts of takes which you can gather by listening to my shows, but that tells the story. Where is JF from? I am from Quebec originally. I lived in Quebec, Montreal during my biology studies. I'm a neuroscientist. I obtained a doctorate in neuroscience at the University of Montreal. Continued a career in research in the US, mostly in North Carolina at Duke University as a postdoc. Made research on monkeys, monkey brains, and eventually I left academia. I was not satisfied, returned to Canada and fled Quebec because it was becoming too much of a communist place. And so that's where I am. And in the process, I worked in the private sector in genetic research, and I have written this book, The Revolutionary Phenotype, a full theory of the emergence of life, a new theory that explains why we have genetic layers. So that's the story. And I'm no more a Quebecois because although I was a sovereignist for all my life, almost, eventually I was disappointed by Quebec, by the leftism there, the assault on parenting rights. I live a pleasant life since I've been leaving Quebec. I think if Putin could come to Quebec and fix a couple of things, I would welcome it. It's just that there are several detentions at anti-war rallies. That is a tweet about there are protests in Russia, but they get neutralized quickly. The police can arrest everyone. Here's an example. Well, they put it in slow motion, but basically we can see some protests being put on the ground and arrested by the police. And, you know, 20 years ago, we could have said, oh my God, he's a repressive regime. Let's do something to save those protesters. But we can't anymore because that's what we do in the West. That's how we treated the truckers of the convoy. The bombardment of Kharkiv, where somehow Coach Red Pill is headed, the bombardment of Kharkiv has taken a massive dimension. Here's an example of the damage after massive shelling and missiles attacks. But see those little bags? Those are military bags. They've been installed there most likely to put a military position, to be hiding in the stairs so that they can shoot from far. So then you're surprised that you're going to get bombarded. Well, yes. So if you had Ukrainian soldiers preparing this place to be a site for fighting, of course, the city will receive shelling. Look at this, big buildings. And by the way, if you watch Twitter, if you're on Twitter and you refresh, you'll see leftists saying, haha, the Russians are failing. That looks like a properly bombarded Ukrainian army position. And the bags tell the whole story. Like, you guys were putting your little bags, thinking that you're part of a revolution. Oh my God, we're gonna stop the dictatorship of Putin. Well, there you go. You got bombarded now. Ulysses sends 60 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, if negotiations with Zelensky fail, will Vladimir Putin declare Coach Red Pill as interim president of Ukraine? That would be awesome. That would be, in terms of thumbnail news, that would be the best that can happen. Fractal Man sends a $5 super chat. Thank you so much for using the USD option. It's really what keeps this show alive. He says, if you were giving the State of the Union tonight, what would you tell the people of the US? I mean, if I was to give the State of the Union address, we would be in a very different US, because we would be in a US that has voted for Papa JF. So, I mean, I would come and I would say, you know what? America has been, for the last 60 years, telling other countries to shut up in the face of our violations of human rights, because our security concerns were greater than the lives of the people we were dropping bombs over. And so, don't be surprised if some other country has learned, because everything that you're seeing being deployed right now by Vladimir Putin has been deployed worse by the US. And so my message to the American people today is, don't get involved in this crap. And if you find any wrongdoings in the images that you see from the Putin army, let me tell you something. America, your country, has done 20 times worse. In fact, we didn't treat locals in the way Putin treats them. We didn't give them outs. We didn't make operations such that an opportunity would be given to the enemy to fight us face to face without their civilian populations. And so the reality of war, dear American people, is that some people are so attached to their lands, and rightfully so to it, to a certain extent. People are so attached to their lands that they choose to die on them. They choose to play scorched earth with their lives, with their bodies, because they prefer that than continuing alive and kneeling to a foreign power. But that human desire to die by the hands of the enemy, and in front of cameras if possible, that desire to die sometimes clashes and enters in conflict with the desire of certain countries to protect their security interest. And when that happens, the countries will bombard human beings, civilians, and you'll see people die on TV. Stop being alarmed. We will not be involved in this conflict. Go back to your stuff. And by the way, we won't do any sanctions, because sanctions would be things that hurt you in the end. And we've been through enough sabotaging of our own economy through COVID bullshit. I'm not going to pull in front of you a new theater meant to deprive you of Russian oil or of low-price goods. We will continue doing commerce with nations that are dominating other nations, because we're a nation that has dominated over other nations forever. And so the first sanction we should ever apply would be on us. And that's something you can learn from the Bible, by the way. You know, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Right now, US, Western Europe is throwing the stone at Russia. Have they looked at their own records? Russia is playing the playbook written by us. New in-laws and javelins, anti-tank defenses in Ukrainian hands. I'm afraid we should expect to see hundreds of Russian tanks burning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that depends where they are. Are these pictures taken from Kyiv? Because, okay, it's easy to deliver right now. You can deliver all this stuff in Western Ukraine, but the question is, can it get to Kiev? Because it seems to me that Vladimir Putin's strategy is he will leave Western Ukraine alone for a long while, unless they start positioning planes and stuff that could keep his advancement from happening in the center and in the west, in the east. If Western Ukraine does not constitute an obstacle to Vladimir Putin's advancement, he will leave them alone for now, mostly. So you can have all your javelin defense, but they're at the wrong place, potentially. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, is Putin's playbook really just the globalist playbook, thus revealing his true nature as a globalist? There's something about this that's somewhat true, you know, going after the Ukrainian Nazis. That is typical SJW leftism, you know. And there is something of a federation, you know, it's called the Russia Federation. So, and he has a federating view of Russia. So in that sense, he's as worse as the leaders of our countries, you know, that there wouldn't be an American president that would accept the sovereignty of a state. They would not let it happen. Just like Canada has never accepted the sovereignty of Quebec and has worked to influence the democratic process as the referendum was happening. So the answer is yes, Putin may just be the inverted middle of the globalist, the other side of the middle. But even then, this conflict could still be seen through a kind of positive lens. Not the positive lens of, oh my God, Putin is great, we must adore him. No. But the positive lens of sometimes, you know, what you need is a mirror. And Putin is offering a mirror to the Justin Trudeau, the Joe Bidens of this world. And sometimes the best way to fight fire is with fire. And sometimes the best way to fight globalism is with globalism. So, yes, Evropa says Putin is globalist light. Exactly. And it's very useful in the current circumstance to have something like this. Kiev region, one moment. I had to cough. A Kiev region, today, there is a lot of destruction. Here, a big building destroyed by strikes.
Будинків немає частинами. Це вам.
Look at this, the pile of wood and concrete. Go away, says, as the US gains more and more Mexican migrants, do you think one day Mexico will have casus belli to annex parts of the US and reunite the Mexican diaspora? Casus belli is not often seen that way. Casus belli is like a good cause for leading a war. The mere fact of there being a lot of Hispanic people in America wouldn't, in and of itself, constitute a casus belli. However, if there was, for example, as we've seen in Ukraine, if the Hispanic minority was mistreated the way the Russian ethnic minority was mistreated, if you started to have reactionary governments that exclude Hispanic people from government functions, if you started to have a kind of segregation emerging either naturally or by force, and if there was aggression against this Hispanic population, then you'd have a casus belli, which is exactly what Putin had with the whole oppression of Russian people in Ukraine. Footage of hits in the hardware station of the Kiev Tower. So people were noting that the Kiev Tower for telecommunication hasn't fallen, but they have effectively neutralized it because they decided to bombard the electrical system. So there was a subground electrical system powering this antenna and it's been destroyed. Here you can see the strike after the first strike, and I think there will be a second strike right there. All right, so telecommunications are getting attacked. I don't know if the locals still have access to the internet, but certainly it's part of the plan here to neutralize the communication because some of these communications could be used for coordination of the army, for coordination of potentially aerial forces, the drones. So Putin doesn't want that kind of aerial capabilities to be available to the Ukrainian army. Airstrike at public media center in Kiev. So that's another perspective on this airstrike.
Друзья, срочно на вышке, только что по телеге, Киев. Значит, Дорогожичи обстреляны, друзья. Дорогожичи обстреляны. Все легли! Легли! Легли к зданию и легли!
So it seems that the citizen is seeking cover because he was in a car and he sees these things dropping right in front of him. Borodyanka near Kiev, so another one of these peripheral cities. Some bombardment of buildings happening here. Buildings destroyed. Buildings catching fire and a bomb apparently dropped from the sky, and did it blow or is it dysfunctional? I do not know. what else did we have today? A lot of scenes of citizens fleeing because Putin has said to the Kiev people, flee now. So that means a massive bombardment, a siege, and probably shelling by tanks is coming to Kiev. So you saw people were fighting because they think it could be the last train. They all want to get on the train, but the trains are already fully packed. And so it's dramatic situations of people doing everything they can to leave. I think there will be more trains, and I think these people will eventually make it to safety. I think as long as we see scenes like this, it would be ill-advised for Putin to give a big strike that would target civilian centers. They have time, and all that needs to happen is that there be actual trains coming to take them. Ukraine must keep operating these trains. A short time ago, the military base of the Ukrainian Unit 95. So that's a military base in the Zhytomyr area, another area around Kiev, but not in Kiev. We may have seen this video earlier. It could have been the same. Mama JF says, "Oh, a little baby." Yes, it's very sad to see babies alarmed. But what the fuck are you doing still in Kiev? It's like you had to wait for an announcement, an official announcement by Putin on TV. It seems like this was going to happen. So they should have used the opportunity to leave, but because of the Zelensky regime's propaganda, it was like, oh, we're gonna keep the city, we're gonna keep the city. It doesn't look like you're gonna keep the city. So why don't you stop deceiving your people, send them to safety, especially the civilians? Stephen Robinson says, "Hey Jeff, have you been paying attention to the raging dissident in Canada? Would be great if you interview him. He is a Canadian hero. His trolling of the government has made it into the parliament. Epic man." I don't know who that is. I'm not aware of that story. I'll look into it, but if you want, Stephen, send me some links about it on Discord so that I can get a quick view. Russia's 40-mile convoy appears to have been bogged down 15 miles from Kiev. Shells pound Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. Listen, you can see all sorts of theories on Twitter today. Oh, it's because the Russian soldiers are so they have so low moral that they are piercing their own tanks so that they don't have fuel anymore. They are sabotaging their own tanks so that they can go home. That is all unjustified stories for which I have seen no evidence. As far as I'm concerned, 15 miles from Kiev is where I would stop if I was to prepare an encirclement and siege. So, you know, they're rooting themselves into believing we're going to win, we're going to win. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. Have you seen what you've seen up to now from the Russian army? Is not even the full potential of the Russian army. You have no idea what's coming to you. And if you think you're going to do some kind of guerrilla warfare, my friend, you will be bombarded from the air. There's nothing you'll be able to do. Now, they're trying to say that, oh, you know, we've captured some Russians, and they admitted that they didn't even know they were going to war. The thing is, that's exactly what I would say if you were to imprison me. If I become a prisoner of war, I'd be like, I didn't know that I was in a war. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Like, that's exactly what I would say. It doesn't mean that it's true. It seems that these people are in convoys and in airstrikes because they know that they're in a war. In Zhytomyr, an airstrike was carried out, so that's another view from the explosion we've just seen, but from further away. Those are massive strikes. I mean, any gathering of significant forces of resistance, this is what awaits you. You see this little fire here? It's going to be all over your head. So why would you defend with a guerrilla warfare strategy when Putin doesn't even care? I don't even know if the tanks will make it into Kiev, if any significant amount of... Putin doesn't want to put a hold onto an unmanageable population. He wants to identify the pockets of resistance to bombard them so that he can have an argument saying, oh, we bombarded, but they had weapons. They were shooting at us. And you're playing right in that game in a very stupid way. The shelling results that we've seen in the morning, that was a result of this activity in the night in Kharkiv. Forget about this. I mean, this is not something you fight with Molotov cocktails, okay? This is infinite amounts of explosive headed your way. You're not gonna fight this out with some cyberpunk aesthetics. Oh my god, we're making Molotov cocktails with used bottles of vodka. No. And this is the kind of Twitter account that spreads a lot of, you know, this kind of, oh, there's low moral in the Russian troops. And he's saying, oh, you know, we can hear their CB because they don't even have digital communications. Okay, and what do we hear on the CB? Well, he says he's hearing a guy on the Russian side on the CB. And he's crying. I expect people to be crying in war. He could have been bombarding other people. He could have been bombarded himself. That puts you in some kind of emotional shock. Of course, there's going to be people crying. But it's not a sign that the war is about to be over. This is a site that was reported by some people in Kharkiv. It's hard to verify that kind of video. I won't show it because people are calling it as fake. I'm going to skip over this one. But basically, there are explosions and there is shelling. Another chaotic scene from the trains that are leaving the affected areas. People have difficulty getting in the train. And you can see a black guy initially being pushed out and then being taken by some defender and taken in. There's been a lot of complaint that there is mistreatment at the hands of the Ukrainian. There is mistreatment of African and Indian people, people who have black or brown skin. And that plays very much into the narrative of Vladimir Putin, that there was something Nazi-like happening in Ukraine. And we can see that when they have limited resources, it is very quick that these limited resources get attributed exclusively to the white Ukrainians. I don't think it's going to matter historically, because I'm sure there will be other trains to take everyone. But it does illustrates a reality that people may not be aware. And certainly the leftist cheering Ukraine on Twitter, I don't know if they're aware that if the amount of racism that appears to be the case in Ukraine right now, you would complain about 1% of it happening in the US. Like, it would take only a small fraction of it for you to be scandalized if it happened in the US. But it's happening right now in Ukraine. And there is a man who has chosen to abolish this racism that's happening. You may not like the man, it's Vladimir Putin. But that's what he's trying to accomplish. He says he will denazify the place. The Russian army is now abandoning. So that's also a recurring meme. Photos of abandoned material here. A SAM system, which it sends missiles to aircrafts. But look, there can be legitimate reasons to abandon these systems. Perhaps they had burned out all of their missiles, perhaps it lacked resources, or perhaps it was broken in a way that wasn't practical to repair. People want to make the claim that this is a sign of the disorganization of the Russian army. Let me suggest something, dear leftist of Twitter and Ukrainians. You're about to be dominated by Vladimir Putin's second-tier army. He's not even going to start chunking into his main-tier army. Basically, Vladimir Putin had leftover equipments. He decided, instead of throwing it to the trash, I'm going to win a war against Ukraine with it. Sorry. And so it does lead to certain material being abandoned on the sides sometimes, but mostly you're currently getting owned with second tier equipment that was meant for trash. Knoy says, JF, hey, he sends a super chat, thank you so much. He says, hey, JF, Kurt Doolittle is a pro-Ukraine right-winger. Could you get him on the show again for a discussion about the invasion? Yeah, I would love to have a debate with Kurt. I wanted to let the dust settle a little bit because I don't want Kurt to hate me. But I'm willing to debate Kurt on the legitimacy of this invasion on the basis of the violation of the Minsk Agreement. I'm not as emotionally attached to the thing as he is. That's his land. So I respect him and I respect his position. But if he wants to... if he wants to cross the saber with me on this, I am willing to do it. I would like you guys to approach him. Perhaps that would be best. Because I think his position is legitimate, and I hate exploiting this for memes and viewers. You know, there's something that hurts me, that because I think that he shouldn't have to defend his view. I think that when you choose to defend a land that you live on with your life, that's a legitimate thing, and you shouldn't have to debate it. Like, I'm almost saying the appropriate thing to do for Kurt is to take a Kalashnikov and start shooting. That's his thing. There's not much argument to be made about it. All I can do is provide an intellectual take on this that is very an outsider take. But an outsider take interested in the questions of international law at play. And and the questions of the justifications on the Russian side. Those are images around Kharkiv, to images related to the shelling during the night or the evening. So we often see the reaction of the car's alarms, which gives you an idea of the shock waves happening. It's like the car alarm feels that something is touching the side of the car. those are other scenes of destruction in apparently the Kharkiv area. Go Away says, hashtag all tourism is sex tourism. Wow, that's a hot take. Perhaps a even more radical take would be to say everything is sex. Everything is, as a life form, you are evolving to have sex and to reproduce. Stephen Robinson sent me a message on Discord. Thank you, Stephen, but it was for after the show. I'll be consulting this after the show. But thank you for informing me on this Canadian resistance man. The Russian army is starting to loot certain businesses. Here we can see them coming into some kind of a store, and they appear to be taking tangerines. All right, so there he is taking tangerines and stuff that's to be expected in a military context. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, I'm glad we didn't go to live there.
Oh my god, we could have been there. This was among our potential targets, but we would have been, we would have ended up under the good care of Vladimir, and it wouldn't be so dramatic. We'd be like Coach Red Pill.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, I was actually shopping for real estate when me and Mama JF had to build our love nest, and the real estate was cheap in Eastern Europe, but there was always the problem. I was studying the country and I was like, too much corruption. We're not going to survive. We need basically to be gangsters to survive there. you need to combat the local cartels that control how much water you're going to get and whether you're going to be able to send your children to homeschool or whether the local director of the bureaucracy will decide that you can't. I mean, it's not viable.
You would have become a real papa.
Yeah. Papa JF on the streets of Ukraine. Here, I'm gonna go get some tangerines for my babies.
Yeah, but I don't remember. I think it was more Bulgaria we looked.
We had looked at Bulgaria, Ukraine. I looked into. We had looked at what is this other country with Kosovo? I'm forgetting the name of the country. The Kosovo stuff.
You really think we would have go there?
I mean, we could have bought 20 houses in there. Here, I'm going to buy these 20. Serbia, that's the country, Serbia. And I was like, you're telling me that I can buy a whole street, basically, with my YouTube money. If you can buy the whole town, maybe the cartels leave you alone at some point. It's like, what if I own this entire island? They're gonna leave me alone?
Me, I was getting excited. I wanted to learn Russian.
Yeah, we were starting to do research on the culture, but then, you know, it's all about pleasance of life there, the corruption, the local governments harassing people, kidnapping babies. I mean, this is what you have to face. You have to face the fact that you're going to be forced to go give birth in the hospital, and then they might very well take your babies. It's I can't be in a country like this. That was the deal breaker. If there's a threat to my baby making activity, you don't qualify. Sorry, Serbia.
Yes, Serbia is like almost as bad as Quebec.
I'm not gonna flee Quebec to get in an equally bad place. Delcroix says you're better off where you are, Jeff. I am here. No one is annoying us. Never got any problem. All I need is I go to my neighbors to buy eggs, meat, pigs, cows. Simple. That's what I wanted from life. It's crazy how, you know, how I wasn't demanding much from life, but I couldn't get it. Francois says, CRP got kicked out. You got kicked out of the hotel, but go back to the beginning of the show if you want to see my explanation on this. Some Borodyanka around Kiev. Listen, this is spectacular. The tank that's right here is about to raise its turret and basically shoot at the camera. This is incredible. But don't film these things. You can very well be mistaken for a sniper of enemy forces. It's like, it's a very dangerous thing to do. Look, he's going to get shot because he's filming. You look like a sniper. That's the problem. Boom. I mean, of course, those are bullets that are not particularly precise, so it's not like he seems to be safe, the guy who was filming this, but we see the kind of initial explosion that throws the bullet, and then we see the bullet coming, the shell or whatever. Look at it, you're going to see a flashbang right here. Holy shit. Don't do this. You look like enemy forces. I mean, if you're in a tank, the most paranoid thing is precisely these overhead snipers and people who could take you out as you get your head out of the tank. Don't do it. The neighborhoods of Kiev are showing some amount of progression of the Russian forces here around a Kiev neighborhood, and they will point to the cameraman and they will say, don't film us, and they're going to raise their arm to intimidate the cameraman. But yeah, I mean, this is what war is. If they want to raise their arm, they can. So they're making these feints. They're kind of warning the guy, if you keep filming us, we're gonna have to shoot you. Magpie sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, did Zelensky lie today about the origin of the Freedom Square missile to strengthen his appeal to the EU? He said the missile was fired from Belgorod to the northeast, but the target building was hit on the western side. Interesting question. I don't dig that deep because I know that we're in the fog of war right now and that these things are very hard to establish. So I tend to believe any such claims very minimally. I'm interested in what I can report, the facts that I can report in a certain degree of certainty, and who fired these missiles and whether they came from anti-air defense of the Ukrainian themselves or the Russian, and whether it was an intentional strike or a accidental strike. All of this is beyond my capacity. Now I'm doing a quick DuckDuckGo search on the terms you just mentioned. Freedom Square missile from Belgorod. Let's have a look at what this is. Ukrainian president appoints general to defend Kiev after Kharkiv missile attack. A cruise missile strike at the largest square of Europe, Freedom Square in Kharkiv, leading to dozens of victims, should be counted as a war crime, said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Early reports said 10 persons were killed and 6 persons injured in the missile attack. Further details are awaited. The cruise missile that struck Kharkiv, fired from the Russian city of Belgorod, is terror against the city. There was no military target on the square, just as those residential areas of Kharkiv hit by rocket artillery. The rocket aimed at the central square is an outright, undisguised terror, the president said in a statement posted on the Ukrainian MOD's website. We call on all countries of the world to respond immediately and effectively to this criminal tactic of the aggressor and to declare that Russia is committing state terrorism. We demand full responsibility for terrorists in international courts. Yeah, I mean, those are technicalities, you know, they're always trying to make the case that there are crimes of war so that they can get other countries to say, oh, we're going to intervene. I don't know. I cannot verify whether this missile was a false flag or whether it was real. There's no way for me to determine it. I guess that this probably shows us a future for wars. Like, I could think of a, like, if you wanted not only to make war, but to win the end formation war, you might have a strategy with radars to kind of identify this kind of accident or not accident, and to be able to stamp them on your opponent. Like, if there were radars that can detect in advance the trajectories of these missiles and you could prove that it doesn't come from your armed forces, but at the same time, the secrecy of war would probably most of the time would impose not communicating that kind of information. But for now, I have no way to verify your question. Now you say, the target building was hit on the western side. The thing is, with missiles, they can very well be dropped from planes. They can be dropped from other countries. They can be dropped from isolated soldiers that we don't know, but they're there. So taking the western side hypothesis on its own, I wouldn't say is conclusive. You'd have to combine this with so much more knowledge about the position on the troops and maybe radar tracking, that kind of stuff. U.S. congressional Democrats and Republicans are showing signs of support for providing $6.4 billion or more in aid to Ukraine and its European neighbors as Russian forces intensify their attacks. We have also learned today that the European Union is not accepting the application of Zelensky to Europe, but they are recommending that he is. So it's not official yet, but they are recommending to accept the application of Zelensky to become a country of Europe. Now, will that be enough? You know, by the time this would be accepted by Europe, probably Vladimir Putin would have conquered half of Ukraine. And on top of it, Europe is not NATO, so it wouldn't necessarily get the other countries involved directly. You know, this $6.4 billion, what will happen with it? It might help secure, well, it might help from a humanitarian perspective, making sure we have all of the infrastructure to get the citizens, the civilians out, and the immigrants who are stuck in there. And if it is used for military purposes, I'm afraid for the Americans that would spend this money. I'm afraid that all it could serve is perhaps help a Western Ukraine to survive. And we would end up in a Germany-style situation with a Western and an Eastern Ukraine. One under the domination of Russia, one under the domination of America. Helicopters being shot down by Ukraine forces with anti-air systems.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
We can see, I believe. This helicopter.
Yes! Yes, блядь! Два! 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 Сбили, сука!
There is a strong celebration. You can see when they accomplish their strike, the Ukrainians are very proud. They are celebrating. Ukrainians' helicopters apparently would have succeeded at neutralizing certain trucks of the Russian army. Here you see images of destruction. So that's happening. Meanwhile, there was a diplomatic moment where they have restricted the liberty of travel of the Russian diplomat to the UN. So this led the Russian diplomat to the UN to not be able to be present physically at the meeting. And so he had to make a speech by video conference because they're obligated to get a speech because he's the member of the UN Security Council. And in fact, he's been the president of this council. But what they did is that all of the ambassadors walked out while his teleconference speech started.
Sergei Lavrov, ministro de Asuntos Extranjeros de la Federación Rusa. Tiene la palabra su excelencia.
They all walk out. This is so tacky. We're not gonna listen to you. This is exactly what I was describing to Richard, and he made his impersonation of a cancel culture. I have the impression that the system has become incapable of handling the alpha male nature of war. It's like, you have nothing to lose to keep these people at a table of discussion. So you're making symbolic gestures, but you're not making any meaningful gestures. In other words, you can talk the talk, but you can't walk the walk. Russian move on Kiev stalled with some signs of low morale in troop, but that's said by US officials and US intel. You have no idea what you're talking about. They just have theories that are favorable to a conception of the Russian troop being low morale and they're going to give up soon. They lack food. They lack fuel. No sign in the progression of Vladimir Putin. There is no sign that this is happening and that there are massive systemic issues that will keep him from winning that war. And by the way, Russia has won other wars before. Zelensky has fled Kiev for Lviv. I wanted to come back on this detail because yesterday Richard said that he believes Zelensky was still in Kiev. But I knew that there had been a news item that was contradicting this, but I wasn't sure about it, so I didn't want to deny it in front of Richard because I couldn't remember the source. But yeah, so the source is Sputnik. So that's the Russian government side. And they think that Zelensky has fled to Kiev, for Lviv, Russian State Duma speaker says. So I don't think he's still in Kiev. That wouldn't be the place to be. Kiev is about to be pounded to the ground. It would be stupid of him. What I think he did is he took pictures of him in Kiev, and then right away he left. It's like, ciao, bye. What has happened today? The leftist coverage of this is alarming. It's like you can't help but to introduce the abortion issue in all this. A maternity clinic near Kiev hit by a missile. Now that's something that will gather your leftist female support, right? Think about the maternity clinics. Think about all these Ukrainian women who won't be able to have an abortion. It's so repeating the same sauce, putting that sauce over every item of coverage, including a war, where there are so much more massive consequences at play. A war is people trying to survive. A war is people trying to kill the other before they get killed. And so the side effects of this on the abortion business in Ukraine, I'm not sure it's appropriate to talk about this. Other CNN coverage in the live updates. Ukrainian diplomat to Bolsonaro. Impartiality cannot apply when you know who the aggressor is. That's in response to Bolsonaro saying, we won't put sanctions on Russia. So we have a constellation of states that are saying, no, we won't put limits on Russia sanctions. And this includes Brazil, I believe Mexico today, China, India. So I think, and CRP today on a stream, as he was now in safety in Kharkiv, he was mentioning his hypothesis that essentially Russia doesn't care about giving fuel or selling fuel to Europeans anymore. They don't really care all that much about Nord Stream 2. And his theory is that basically they want to dissociate the USD from being the kind of powerhouse that it is and being so tied to the fuel. And how they would accomplish this is precisely by feeding these other nations with fuel, mostly China. So in a way, the US will continue consuming Russian oil and Europe too, but they will do so by buying the products being produced at low price in China with the Russian oil. So I think it's a good hypothesis. I think Vladimir Putin wouldn't have went into this with all the strength that he took if he didn't have a plan concerning all this. And I think he essentially doesn't give a shit anymore about about economic relationships with the US. He has waited for the moment where he could fly by his own wings and be a great empire without trade with Europe, and then he made his move. Delcroix sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, thanks, JF. Have some of this Odyssey funny money. Best I can do during wartime. Well, thank you so much. And LBC, you know, I've been successful at selling a good amount of LBC when it reached something like 30 cents, I believe. And it gave me a couple of thousands of dollars. So don't underestimate how you can actually support this show with small amounts of LBC. It may seem small. You buy it right now, it's like 3 cents every LBC. I sell it when it reaches 30 cents, 40 cents. Last time I sold it, I just had thousands of dollars from it. So it's a funny money, but it's significant when you're a creator and they keep rewarding you with more and more LBC. I make hundreds of LBC every day just from the views, not even the donations, but just the fact that you guys are logged in and are viewing my videos. So it becomes significant because I'm in a comfortable enough position economically to stack my LBC and only sell it when it peaks. What else did we have in the news? This is another thing that is so passive-aggressive, so feminine in the reaction to this war. They made drones illuminate the sky in Kiev saying, Russian Navy warship, go fuck yourself. First, the story itself was debunked. As it turns out, this was supposed to be the story, so a Ukrainian soldier on an island that was, you know, invaded early by the Russian army, launches a message to the ship. The ship is saying, please surrender. We don't want to kill you, but we will kill you if you don't surrender. And he says, surrender, Russian Navy warship, go fuck yourself. Like, bomb. No, I'm an independent, strong. I'm a strong, independent Ukrainian army soldier. And then they said in the story that then we lost communications with them. That means they have been shot by missile. We found out eventually that they haven't been shot. They just got captured. They are still alive. They have surrendered. And so this whole story is based on a lie. Now, that's one thing, to have a couple of lies in social media. It's another thing to make a fucking drone show during war. Like, this is where you use your resources. So they made a drone show during war to say, Russian ship, go fuck yourself. And they think that this will undermine the morale of the Russian troops. Here to the Rothschild family, Nathaniel Rothschild today wrote to members of the British government, giving his view that Vladimir Putin is the most dangerous man since the defeat of Hitler. Ukraine is an essential piece that we cannot afford to lose in the geopolitical chessboard. We must bring Russia to its knees through any means possible, to send a strong signal to the Chinese and to protect our global systems of norms and liberal values. In effect, our current path of lack of military action means that our global order is dead on its feet. I urge you to deploy more force against Russia and its proxies, step up information warfare to correct opinion, especially online, and send weaponry to our friends in Ukraine. Without Ukraine, the global order may not survive. I don't know if that's a quote of the letter or if that's an interpretation, but in any case, the people who are powerful want want a war with Russia. And much of what we've seen in the last weeks is this war being set up in a way that it would be certain to happen. I find this extremely sad. Go away, says, is now a good time to buy Russian ruble with my BTC? No, I wouldn't guarantee that you can do anything with Russian ruble, so do not. I wouldn't recommend that you buy it. I mean, do whatever you want, but I don't know. People are being debunked on the National Pulse article. Debunked, corporate media stop trending Ukraine stories turn out to be complete fakes. And look at this, Dan Crenshaw, you know, a voice for the globalist military order. Snake Island says, go fuck yourself. Well, Snake Island turned out to be debunked. Ghost of Kyiv kills 5 Russian jets by himself. Turns out to be debunked. It was images from a computer game. So the two big stories that Daniel Crenshaw puts in his big tweet on February 25, that was what, 3-4 days ago? The two first stories have been debunked. It's crap. Ukrainians are fighters. Putin can go to hell. No one is going to correct this misinformation. Where are the fact checkers correcting the misinformation? Where are the bans? There will never be bans for people siding with the globalist order, like Dan Crenshaw. Ukraine's second largest city pummeled under Russian strikes as calls for Western intervention grow. That is the push that we're seeing today, Western intervention. People are, well, I don't even know if it's real people, but accounts on Twitter are cheering. They're saying, control the air, please, America. Please come destroy this tank convoy. We may have to supply Europe. Lawmakers pressure Biden to halt Russian oil imports, boost production. But look, Biden has made a move. He's released 60 million barrels from the strategic oil reserve to kind of attack the price as a kind of punishment for Putin were still at peak petrol price, I don't think it's going to be very effective. I think, if anything, it's stupid to do so. Get rid of your strategic reserve when you could very well be in a conflict that you don't want to be in within any day now or any months now, with all the people cheering for war, with potentially your European allies making a move without your knowledge and permission. They could, or with your knowledge and permission, they could get you involved in a war against Putin. And then we're talking submarines with nuclear strikes potentially popping up in different places of this planet. This is not a time at which you want to be low on gas. Breaking 9/11, new African refugees fleeing Ukraine turned away at the Polish border because of a no-blacks policy, according to the New York Times. This is a Breaking 9/11 Gab post. Yeah, we're discovering the dirty side, we're discovering that there are actually Nazis in Ukraine and in Poland. Is anyone surprised? And I'm not saying this to demean the Nazis or anything, but I'm saying to anyone who thinks that Putin is totally out of place to say there are Nazis in there, I mean, there are certainly people that, by the standard of the current left in America, would be called Nazis, for sure. With that kind of policies, you'd certainly get called a Nazi by the average blue-haired feminist, okay? Can we agree on this? Delcroix sends 5 LBC, thank you so much. He says, they don't even try anymore, dumbed down CIA and all ABC agencies doing iPhone propaganda. Yeah, we see a lot of this. There's so much. And at this point, I think that essentially Twitter has punished itself. They have excluded so much voices from the right, conservative right, traditionalist, nationalist. At this point, all that's left is leftist disinformation. And it's looking bad. It looks very artificial. It must be terrible for the leftists stuck in this kind of internet circle jerk. Tanker rates on Russian crude oil route soars ninefold in 3 days. That's because, of course, of the issues of travel around the Black Sea. So it went, for the route, it went from 5K to 158K per day to operate these big boats that are carrying tanks of oil. That's not looking good, but that's the situation for now. This means higher prices for fuel going forward. We're already at peak oil price. It's going to get worse. Rendo Norwegian says, Jeff, they are LARPing as Nazi. They are talking out their ass. Well, okay, but you can't argue that there is some discrimination happening at the train level inside Ukraine and at the border level inside Poland. At least it's reported as such by the New York Times. And I'm not saying I'm sure that it's true. I'm saying if this is going on, then Putin is right. There were some Nazi problems in Eastern Europe. Putin bans cash exports from Russia exceeding $10,000 in stabilization effort. So yeah, there's a massive bank run and a selling of Russian assets, of course, because the sanctions are so severe. Basically, anything you own in Russia, you won't be able to access it. And so Putin has banned the idea of taking out more than $10,000 worth of certain assets. Basically, if you own something in Russia from outside Russia, it's now you own the piece of paper on which your property was written, and that's all you own. And I think it's fair of Putin to do that, to be honest, because the other countries have done this to the representatives of the Russian government. They've done this to Putin, so he's doing it to their people. That's fair to me. Rendo Norwegian says, Jeff, discrimination is not national socialism, and it bothers that people believe this. Okay, well, I mean, I'm willing to grant this subtle distinction, but I'm talking about it from the standards of the leftist view, okay? Like, as far as I'm concerned, you've been called a Nazi in America just for being white, not even for being racist at this point. At this point in America, being white is enough. And being silent, for example, silence is violence. It's enough to get called racist, and it's enough by some to get called a Nazi, by the particularly crazies. So from that perspective, it's definitely Nazism what's happening in Poland. That's what I mean. I'm just trying to look at a perspective over this situation from the standards that the left have applied to us forever. Because at this point, they're the ones siding with these Nazis. I agree that they're not Nazis. As crypto soars, exchanges decline requests to freeze Russian funds. Since the start of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Bitcoin has soared from around 34,000 to almost 45,000 as global sanctions, asset freezes, and bans on external forex transfers appear to have prompted a significant demand for an alternate store of wealth. I think that this is the perfect storm to rise the price of Bitcoin, and that will be the conclusion of tonight's show. I think that the events that are happening, I don't think that the Russian economy in and of itself, just people being afraid in Russia, would be big enough to have a massive rise of the price of Bitcoin. I think it can sustain a price and increase it slightly. But I think the combined effect of all these problems, all the sanctions happening everywhere, and the fear of people, the realization that, hey, our governments can decide just like this, that everything doesn't exist. USD, possibility to transfer USD to Russia, Russian currencies, this and that. And eventually you just say, all right, I need to transfer a lot of wealth into Bitcoin. I think that the combined effect of the Russian citizens themselves potentially adopting Bitcoin, but most importantly, the international fears being developed will lead to a massive decorrelation between Bitcoin and everything else. You're going to see everything else fall. Perhaps some military stocks rise. But most importantly, you're going to see Bitcoin go the other way as the runaway that I dreamed that Bitcoin would become. And so for that reason, yes, King says, you will get your 100k Bitcoin, JF. I think I will. So I'm going to keep my Bitcoin. Much love, everyone. Night King says on Entropy, did you see the kid finder of Kharkiv? Haha. Yeah, it's a meme where Valsh is being presented as the pedo of Kharkiv after the ghost of Kiev. The pedo of Kharkiv. It's a funny meme, but I won't show it on screen because I think it's an unfair attack. Even to a political enemy like Valsh, I'm not going to publish memes about him being a pedo. I think it's just disgraceful. But I laughed my ass off. Will CRP be stuck in Russia forever? 6 people say for a while, 3 people say no, and 2 people say yes. Well, in any case, I think we've seen the genius of CRP. CRP decided to go against the grain of a walking army. And he basically crossed the front line. He crossed the closest thing that could be called a front line in modern war. And as he crossed the front line, he was yapping on stream that these people suck, and All right, I'm happy now. Now, he specified on his Telegram that he's not taking side for the Russian regime or for Vladimir Putin. He was just expressing his view from a personal, individual standpoint, experiencing what was happening to him in Ukraine. And it's amazing that a guy like this just sticking to the truth, sticking to, I'm just a guy who talks about my feeling, but he finds himself at the heart of the most important events of modern time. And he just talks his mind. He could die for it, but he does it. That's what I love about Coach Red Pill. Much love. See you all very soon. Firestarter says, is JF implying that Ukraine is in Russia? I didn't mean to imply this, but talk to me again in a couple of days. Thank you.